live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at COVID-19-related topics. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, let's start out today taking a look at the new numbers that are just out in the past few minutes.
Well, the new numbers show that overall the numbers are down over the last week, which is really good news. Our number of hospitalizations is coming down. We've now been a whole week where we've been less than 30. And unfortunately, we still see some new deaths.
And I noticed that the latest report there are compared to the Friday report, a pretty significant drop. When you're looking at numbers, what period of time? I mean, is it best to kind of take 1 week at a time and see how that goes up? Because it seems like daily numbers go up and down a lot.
So daily numbers do go up and down a lot. People are tired. They've been going for a long time. So there are many places that are not reporting cases on the weekends. So sometimes we'll see low case reports on the weekends, and then they'll come in later in the week. So I think we really do need to look on a weekly or weekly average. But even on the weekly average, we're down a little bit. We're in the low 30s now on a seven-day average.
Now, in Friday's report, a number of deaths were noted that had taken place several weeks back, even in the summer. I got that question over the weekend, people wondering why that information was just now coming out.
Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. So public health follows people during their infectious period, which is the first 10 days. And some of these deaths don't happen until people are 15 or 18 or 20 days out. Now, we try to track down those deaths, but don't always find it, especially if the deaths happen at home. In addition, when people die in other areas, we may not get that information. So what the state does is they look at death certificates and then look to see if these are likely to be COVID-related deaths. And if they are, we track them down. We look at the medical records. And if they are COVID-related deaths, then we do report those.
So as we go through this pandemic, you've talked a lot about vaccination rates. And I'm curious if Douglas County's rate has gone up very much recently.
It continues to go up slowly. We're at about 60% of our adult population who is fully vaccinated. About 50% of our population is fully vaccinated. About 60% of our population 18 and above is fully vaccinated.
And how does that compare to other counties around the state?
Well, it's better than some and worse than others. Certainly Lane County is about 10 or 15 points higher than we are, but we are higher than many of the eastern counties and about the same as Josephine and Jackson.
And are we seeing a correlation between lower case rates still in counties that have higher vaccination rates?
There's no question that both in Oregon and throughout the country, places that have had more vaccinations have had fewer cases. Now, in places where they had a lot of natural disease, so for example, Florida and Louisiana both had an incredible surge of natural disease, they are seeing low numbers of cases now because of the combination of vaccination plus natural disease, but they had a lot of deaths to get there.
A big focus today is taking a look at the pediatric COVID-19 vaccine now available. Talk about the process that led to that.
So the COVID vaccine for children is an offshoot of the vaccine for adults. It contains one-third of the genetic material and has a slightly different vehicle. But that vaccine was tested on children 5 to 11. It showed that it was really quite effective. There were no safety signals. So we're very happy to have this vaccine available.
And that's been in recent days. Where will people find it available?
So it's available at each of the pediatrician's offices. It's available at the big clinics. So Umpqua Health Alliance, ADAPT, Evergreen, Aviva all have it. In addition, there's going to be a big event that the Cow Creek Tribe is putting on this coming weekend. It's going to be on their Stevens Street property there, and they have 300 doses to give to kids 5 to 11.
And that'll be Friday and Saturday. Now, this for kids, just to be clear, is also two shots, right?
Yes, similar to adults. It's a shot followed by another shot 3 weeks later. We do not yet know about boosters for kids.
And this is only the Pfizer for now, right?
Just Pfizer. Moderna has applied, but I think they're a few weeks off in getting approval.
And do you see a Johnson & Johnson one coming later as well?
I do not. Actually, I think Johnson & Johnson is not really making much progress on the pediatric vaccine side, but we'll see. This stuff comes out mostly in the media, so we might see. But I think probably the Pfizer vaccine, which has been really a good vaccine overall, is going to take the lead.
A lot of parents expressing concerns about getting kids vaccinated for one more thing. What I've heard is kids are less likely to catch COVID or have issues. So the question there coming from some parents is, why do kids down to this lower age level need to be vaccinated?
Well, kids at all ages can get it. So we've seen kids as young as 2 weeks old get COVID. We certainly see lots of kids 5 to 11 to get it. So kids are likely to get it. Now, they are much less likely to get really sick, but kids 5 to 11 then can also get other things. This multi-system inflammatory disease, which has really been nasty up in Portland, has been mostly kids 5 to 11, all unvaccinated, obviously. And we also see that even though it's not common that kids are sick, 700 kids have died of COVID. So although it's not common for kids to get really sick and die, it really does happen. Consider the other disease that we give vaccine for. So the meningococcal disease that we give vaccine for, only about 10 kids a year die of meningococcal disease. And yet we're doing that. 700 died of COVID. So it really is a pretty mortal disease. In addition, kids 5 to 11, when they get the disease, many of them get long COVID. So I will tell you, we have a number of kids who had COVID who are weeks or months until they're back to feeling good.
And for parents, I know there's a lot of concern in general about vaccinations. There's always a percentage of people that even want to have their kids opt out of some of the other vaccines because they're looking at down the road because the kids' bodies are still developing and wondering just how safe some of this is.
Well, vaccines have been really the cornerstone of pediatrics. I'm old enough in pediatrics to remember a time before we had HIV vaccine, before we had pneumococcal vaccine, and even at a time when MMR vaccine was not fully adopted. Those were terrible, awful diseases. And as parents were nervous about getting those diseases, but any of us who lived through HIV meningitis, any of us who've lived through pneumococcal meningitis recognize how incredibly positive these vaccines have been.
Do you think enough time and research and testing went into this before it went on the market for kids?
I think so. So many of the other vaccines that have gotten approved with small trials. This actually had a good-sized trial and is very similar to the adult vaccine. So I think this has been adequately tested, and I would strongly recommend it for my patients and even for my grandchildren.
And as we talk about the kids getting vaccines, if I recall correctly, one of the things you mentioned, too, is that while kids oftentimes fared better, they still had the ability to spread it to others.
Right. So what we recognize now is that kids, once they hit puberty, are very efficient spreaders. And so it's usually the older kids who bring it home, but then the younger kids who then spread it around the family. Not surprisingly, you don't do much hugging of your teenagers, but you do a lot of cuddling and hugging with young kids. And they can spread it to their parents, they can spread it to caregivers, and they can especially spread it to their grandparents. So I will tell you that when we have seen outbreaks and traced them along the way, frequently young kids have been part of the spread. So, for example, an older kid will get it, bring it home, spread it to the rest of the family, and then they will spread it to the grandparents who get deathly ill.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel this afternoon at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Oregon House Republican leader Christine Brazen. Her thoughts about a decision by the governor to commute a number of sentences of those in prison. We'll talk about that and other topics with House Republican leader Christine Brazen on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. As we look around the nation, what states are being especially hit hard with COVID-19 right now?
Well, what we're seeing now is that the disease is mostly in the Mountain West. So Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho are seeing lots of cases. But there are little outbreaks all through the country. So places that didn't have a lot of disease before, like Vermont and New Hampshire, are having cases. There are places in West Virginia, Alabama, Texas, and California, all of having little outbreaks. So what we're seeing now with Delta is that it can pop up almost anywhere.
Do we feel like Delta is waning or starting to recede?
So Delta itself is not. So Delta is still the predominant variant. There are offshoots of Delta, like the AY2 and the AY4 that we're seeing around, but pretty much it's all Delta all the time, which is a good thing because we know about Delta. We know that Delta, while not quite as sensitive to the vaccine, is still quite sensitive to the vaccine. And so we're hoping it stays Delta. What we worry about the most is that a new variant will come up somewhere in the world where they have not had vaccinations that will be resistant to the vaccine.
And explain variants again and how that works.
So what happens is viruses have a genetic code, and this one does too. And as it reproduces, sometimes there'll be a mistake. Now, most of the mistakes that get made are kind of nonsense mistakes, and they die out and don't make any difference. But sometimes the mistakes actually make the virus better. So the very first variant that we saw was the D614G. And what that did is that made that spike protein. So if you've seen these little cartoons of this virus, looks like a tennis ball with little spikes on it. Well, the original spikes tended to break at the 614th amino acid. But with this change, it got much more stable and became much more contagious. So this D614G mutation took hold. And now the Delta has 17 different mutations, and it's taken hold, and it makes it more contagious, makes it spread quicker, and makes the viral loads much higher than it was with the original forms.
And with the concern of another variant, it obviously could be a lot different and be even harder to deal with.
That's true, and that's what we worry about. You can't really predict when these variants are going to occur, but they tend to occur at places where there's a lot of disease spreading. So you don't see it at places where there's not much disease spreading, but in places where there's just widespread, this is where you see it. So, for example, the Delta came up in India at a time when there was just a phenomenal amount of spread. The Alpha came up in the UK when there was a lot of spread there. The P1 variant came up in Brazil when there was a lot of spread there. So the goal is to get the amount of spread down so that new variants will not form. The problem is there's places in the world where there have been very little vaccine, especially Africa.
What about around the nation right now? How are things looking? Talk about particular areas that are getting hit hard or doing especially well.
So the areas that are doing particularly well are the coasts. So New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, who both had a lot of disease and a lot of vaccine, is doing well. The Southeast, especially Florida, which had a tremendous number of cases over the summer, is now quieted down. And the coastal California has done very well. So we are seeing places that are really doing quite well with this.
And are there areas that where you're seeing resurgences again?
Well, again, so Mountain West and Alaska has really struggled the most probably in the last month. So Alaska has really struggled with this. They have a relatively low vaccine rate. And when it gets into a community, because the communities, although they're spread apart, are fairly tight where they're at. It really spreads like wildfire within those communities.
Not far away from Thanksgiving, people tend to gather, families come. What about concerns there? And how did Thanksgiving go last year?
So Thanksgiving and Christmas did not cause huge spikes in Douglas County, although they did cause big spikes elsewhere. We worry about Thanksgiving for a few reasons. One of the reasons is that people tend to travel a lot. So they do tend to travel hundreds of miles sometimes to visit relatives. And travel, we know, is associated with spread of disease. The other thing that we worry about at Thanksgiving is that most of the Thanksgiving activities are indoors, typically in poorly ventilated spaces, and they're very long. So you have long indoor gatherings, and that's where if one person in the Thanksgiving party has disease, they're likely to spread it to others who are susceptible.
So how do people best handle this and still connect with family and friends?
Well, the very best way is to be vaccinated. And the other would be to not stay away if you're sick. Again, I cannot tell you the number of times where we've seen spread where somebody said, oh, I thought it was just a sinus infection. I thought it was just allergies. And then after 3 or 4 days, when they start getting fever, they say, oh, maybe it's COVID. So, you know, get vaccinated, stay home if you're sick would be the two best piece of advice we have.
Now, travel into the U.S. Now opening up for vaccinated people from certain places. Talk about that.
Yeah, so travel is opening up, and that's a good thing. Travel is so important for so many reasons. And so traveling both in and out of the country is opening up. Again, there's still a lot of vaccine restrictions, which is, I think, a good thing. And then there are also some of those places that require testing. But those are all good things. I mean, we really do need to get back to normal life, and travel is one of those normal things that we should get back to.
And it's interesting to think about, I think it's 20 months that in some of the cases here, travel into the U.S. from a lot of locations has been totally shut down.
Yeah, so travel from many countries has been nearly shuttered for a long time. And so for people who have family in those places, this opening of travel will be very welcome.
Couple of minutes left. What new things are being learned about the virus?
Well, a couple of new things which are really very interesting. One is a new antiviral drug made by the Pfizer company. It is an antiviral drug like we would use Tamiflu for influenza, and it seems to be both quite safe and very effective, about 90% protective in preventing hospitalization. The FDA is going to take a look at that in the next few weeks. And that would really add to it, because we already have Regeneron, we may have Molnupiravir, and now if we had another drug that was very effective, that would be a great thing.
And do you see that more of those are being worked on right now?
Well, I'm not in the midst of the research on that, but I would imagine they are. These antiviral drugs really are our way out of many other viral pandemics, right? So with HIV or with hepatitis C, it was not a vaccine that got us out of it. It was an effective antiviral drug. The problem is antiviral drugs are very slow to make. And because they're slow to make, it's taken about 2 years now to get them out. But once they come out, they're usually very effective. So we're very excited about a good antiviral drug. I mean, think of this. If we had an antiviral drug so that as soon as you get diagnosed, you could take the antiviral drug and it cuts your risk of hospitalization by 90%, that would be truly a game changer.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio, 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.